So, now we're going to get them to bring us a ship, and then let us fly away?
We'll have Zed on. They won't see us.
They'll see the moving hole where we were. It's a lot harder to hide things in planetary atmospheres.
Not with Zed. We've solved that problem, or most of it. The thing is, all they have to do is hit a line across our course, and since we have to fly to the mainland...
Why? It's the obvious thing, of course, but being obvious won't help us now. At the very least, we can zig and zag and...
Not forever. We have to come down somewhere.
Maybe, maybe not. Suppose they think we've blown up or something. We could toss fireworks out the back.
Swearingen looked disgusted.
Oh, come on, Gussie. The fake explosion while the real vessel gets away is the oldest trick in the book.
Yes, because it works. All it has to do is distract them long enough for us to make a course change. 2 points to find a straight line. They have takeoff and the explosion. If we aren't at an extension of that line, they'll have no idea where we are.
It's ridiculous. It's all straight out of story time. I have to agree with Helmut.
There's a reason for stories being the way they are.
Yes, they're for the stupid or the ignorant, to keep them out of our way while we do the work.
Can you even name one time in real life, not your pseudo-history, when someone faked an explosion and escaped in a vessel the enemy thought was blown up?
The professor blinked rapidly, as if at a long sequence of pages.
There are plenty of ruses in military history.
Not just ruses, Gussie, but that hoary old cliché of faking the explosion of an engine or a ship or something.
Commander Harris Serrano, when she was just a lieutenant, she trailed a weapons pod past a fixed defense point, and when it blew, it blinded the sensors long enough for her to get her ship past. A Bruin Thornbuckle, during her rescue, sent the shuttle as a decoy after landing on the orbital station.
Aha! You see? A hoary old cliché still works.
It works better if you keep them busy thinking about other things.
Like what?
Anything. Because you're also right. If they see the shuttle taken off and then it disappears and then something blows up, they're gonna be suspicious.
So, we don't have it disappear until just at the explosion.
We have Zed, but the controls aren't that good. Not yet.
Look, the shuttle will have a working comm, right? The bad guys will want to be in touch with the shuttle crew.
Yes?
So, we continue our little charade on the shuttle. Suppose we talk about the weapons we've recovered. We're trying to see how they work.
They're not going to believe their people would do something that stupid.
Wouldn't they?
But...
Everyone turned to look at Margu. She could feel the ideas bubbling up in her mind like turbulence in boiling water.
Suppose the bad guys, ours, I mean, said they also had the scientists, and they were questioning them, and they found out one of the things was a stealth device, and they wanted to try it to see if it really worked.
That would explain the disappearance. Good, Margu.
I still think they'd be suspicious.
Oh, spoil sport.
The professor rubbed his balding head.
But you're probably right. Let's see. Our pseudo-bad guys question the scientists. Please don't hurt me. I will tell you everything.
Good Lord, Gussie. What archaic accent is that?
I don't know. I heard it on a soundtrack years ago. Now, don't interrupt. So, the scientists act like terrified victims, and maybe that can be overheard. And then they turn Zed on, and it works.
And it's still as transparent as glass.
So I'll scratch it up. Yes!
The professor leaped up and danced in a circle.
Yes! 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 Brilliant! Scratchy, like old recordings. Old-time radio breakup.
What? Damn it, Gussie. This is serious.
I am serious. I am just momentarily transported by my own brilliance. And yours, and Margu's here. Like this. The normal takeoff, the threats of the bad guys, the terror of the scientists. But then, when we turn Zed on, it doesn't keep working. It sort of... That sort of flickers. They hear an argument, more threats, more piteous pleadings, curses at some fool who, I don't know, kicks the power cable or something. The shuttle is there, then it isn't, then it is, but always on the same course. A voice shouting in the background, be careful, don't overload it, it wasn't designed for... And then the explosion, and then the course change.
A long silence this time, as they all digested what the professor had said. He mopped his face, his head, and pushed the crumpled, stained handkerchief into his pocket.
It does explain everything. It gives them more to think about, more complications.
Yeah, it seems to give them more data, but all the data are false. It might work.
So what we need is something to make a big bang that will look like a shuttle blowing up on the bad guy's scan from upstairs, which we can get far enough away from before it blows that we don't also blow.
The group dissolved as the scientists wandered off. Margu, used to direct orders and a clear set of directions, felt let down as she followed the professor down one passage after another.
Are we ever going to get to work? And what would Major Garson think of my just wandering around idly, watching someone who seems to have very little idea what he's doing?
But that, she soon found out, was a mistake. After a rapid tour of the ground floor levels of the site, the professor found Major Garson and began suggesting where to put what. Garson, meanwhile, was working on his own pretense. He had divided his troops and assigned the NEMs to play mutineer.
If they think the NEMs are mutineers, they'll believe that the Loyalists are in serious trouble. Also, the NEMs are so big and bulky that it's hard to get facial detail when they're in their pea suits with the head jacks. That means I can move them around and have them play more parts.
Margu glanced at the NEMs sitting around, half of them sticking odd-shaped patches to their pea suits. One of them grinned at her as he slid the tube of adhesive back into one of the pockets.
The bad guys are old Lepescu cronies. They take ears from their kills. So we thought we'd use an ear shape openly as a recognition patch. No one else would.
Come along, Ensign.
Margu followed the professor, glancing back at the NEMs who were clustered there. She hoped they were all Loyalists. Ah! 12 hours later, the whole situation felt even more unreal. Periodically, Margu and the professor joined Garson and one of the troops and scuttled rapidly from one building to another, following a plan of Garson's that had the Loyalists trying to evade the mutineers. The NEMs, pretending to be mutineers, meanwhile, shot entirely too close for Margu's comfort and shattered all the ground floor windows. Far underground, with doors shut against the wicked drafts from above, the scientists and remaining troops had organized the collection of boxes, cylinders, cables, and things that looked like leftovers from a junk heap onto pallets. On one of their tours through the working areas, the professor shook his head over the tarps used to cover the loads before lashing them down.
No, it's too bad they destroyed those seaplanes. Look, look, look. These would have made wonderful sails, and we could have built a ship with the frames of the planes.
No, we could not. I can just see us now, Gussie, setting sail in something you whipped together with sticky patch and hairs pulled from your beard, which aren't long enough to make ropes, in case you hadn't noticed.
Rope? Rope? Yeah, we're going to need one really good cable to make this work.
Well, there was cable in the planes, but now...
Spares. They had to stock spares somewhere around here.
They looked around the room they were in, bare to the walls except for the pallets.
I know. What's the cable for, Gussie?
Towing the explosive. We don't want to just drop it to them. We'd have to delay its explosion, and it'd be below our last visible position. We want to tow it.
Out the back of a troop shuttle. I'm beginning to wish I weren't shuttle qualified. I mean, it's doable. I did a practice equipment drop once, and they shoved the stuff out the back with a static line. There's a kind of a yank, and then it's gone, and...
What bothers me is the scan analysis of the explosion. If they've got somebody good up there, and we have to assume they do, then they're going to expect shuttle components in the explosion. Now, you've proposed that we use some of the weaponry in development, and it certainly will make a big enough bang, but it won't have any shuttle-specific ID. Once they realize that, they'll know we're still around.
What kind of stuff would it take? Can we just throw out the life rafts or something?
No, it's the explosion itself. They'll expect some differences because they'll know the shuttle has exotic new stuff on it. But the shuttle itself, when it explodes, would contribute recognizable chemical signatures. A shuttle weaponry, for instance, would be assumed to go up with it.
Why not just add the shuttle's weapons pod to the tow load?
Everyone stopped and looked at Margu.
Of course! Didn't I say redheads were naturally brilliant?
But that would leave us with no weapons.
But we weren't going to fight our way out with the shuttle anyway. We're just using it as transport. We know we can't take on a deep space ship.
Garson chewed this over a long moment.
All right, it makes sense. I just don't like not having them. But as you said, they'll do us more good proving we're not there when we are. I'll add that to our list of priorities once we get aboard. Be sure we have extra tie-downs and pallets, though.